Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I'll be about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Miranda.
Said it'd be about 30 seconds.
Okay.
I have returned.
Okay. Brandy came on, so you've got two of us.
Good evening, Brandy.
Good evening.
So we are in the Deep Zohar class. We're in Parasha Lech Lecha, Section 18. We're starting Section 18 this evening. It begins with Pasuk 152, and I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu Ishkin David, Hiluur, Himud, Hilud, Hiluur, Himu. Le'akda L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe, B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu penunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu penuneihu. Tachatzei nafshi da nefesh tehihi. Sha'olta belaila umirdach batar darga. Ruach bayom diktiv nafshi avitichah. Belaila da nefesh dehi shalta, belaila af ruchi bekirbi ashacharecha, da ruach dehu shalta bi mama.
Malka.
Good evening, Malka. We just read the Hebrew for verse 152 in section 18, and I'm about to read the English translation.
Okay.
Come and see my soul, the nefesh. This is the one that dominates at night and pursues its own grade, which is the nukva of Zeranpin, in order to cleave on to it. My spirit, the Ruach, governs during the day. As it is written, with my soul, the Nefesh, have I desired you in the night. This is the Nefesh that rules at night, because at that time it rises on high and is presented before the king. With my spirit, the Ruach, within me will I seek you early, refers to the Ruach, which governs during the day. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. There is new information here. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, my first thought was the verbs that the soul dominates. But the ruach, or rather the nefesh, and the ruach governs. The soul dominates, but spirit governs. And I think from last week when we learned about the nefesh and it's dominating at night and the experiences that we have in reaching them, either the lower garden or the upper garden or not at all, and just wrestling that we see in this pasuk that the Ruach carries us during the day.
Very clear.
Do you think they're really, truly separated, though? Because we always, you know how we've always thought of unity. And even though we talk about the stuff we wrote, you know, each step we wrote, we know that it's all unified. Is it not so even with, I don't know, I can't separate and put together. Maybe it'll come in following verses. I don't know. But I did think the words were very interesting, you know, the difference between dominate and between govern. You know, it didn't use the same vocabulary words. And, of course, soul and spirit are two different words, too. So,
Mark, I believe you were saying something.
This thought came to my mind when you say the Ruach governs. Is that considered, would that be considered as a, like a soft judgment during the day? Because the Klipot, after a certain hour during the day, the Klipot gets stronger, the negative side gets stronger. So...
The negative side gets stronger in the afternoon. Once noon is reached,
right.
The negative side gets stronger. And yes, it is considered soft judgment, and the harsh judgment is at night.
Right.
And this is the difference in the verbs is being expressed because of the different categories.
Mm-hmm.
The Nefesh comes from Malchut, the Ruach from Zeranpin. The Ruach represents the emotions. The Nefesh represents the manifestation. And it's the closest to the body. So what Hannah said about the verbs is very apropos. It's very correct. But now the question that Hannah has asked, about are they really separated? And the answer is no, they're not separated. The Nefesh is the throne for the Ruach. Another way of perceiving them is from the standpoint of two tubes. The innermost tube is solid. The next outermost tube is a tube like as a kid you would play with the toilet paper roll after the toilet paper was gone, and you could, you know, insert one tube into the other. And therefore, the tubes could move relative to each other. But it's the easiest way to understand the concept of separation that is unified is to think of your own family. You have individuals in your family. And they are unique and different from each other. But you all have the same last name. You all have a family name. So I can refer to you as one family, or I can refer to you as the individual parts of the family. The father has a name. The mother has a name. Each child has a name. Therefore, they are different. They are separated. But at the same time, I can refer to all of you as a family unit.
Mm-hmm.
So are they separate or are they unified? And the answer is they are both. Depends on the consciousness of how you perceive them.
We often hear a mother say, but they all ate from the same soup, but they were all different. I've heard, you know, women say that about their children, because each one of them were different, but yet they were all with, you know, they all grew up together in the same house.
Correct. And it's a question of, are they different or are they the same? And you know, are they unified or are they separated? It's how you perceive it. Each one of them knows that they are unique. They have a separate name. And we teach that every family unit is unified. Of course, we know better, but only because people don't understand cause and effect. So, are the ten sephirot different? Are they separated or are they one?
Are you asking us? Or are you just making a statement?
Yes, I am asking you. It's not a rhetorical question. It's a question you have to answer, each of you for yourself at every moment.
Every thought that you get
comes from where? Comes from one of the sephirot. But do you have the same thoughts? You think about what you're cooking for dinner. You think about what the weather's like. You think about what time somebody will come home. You think about many different things, one thought, one right after the other. But they're all connected thoughts, because they're connected to the sephirot that are in unity. But we perceive them as different thoughts. So now that everything is as clear as mud, you want to talk about it some more, or should I go on?
Well, I think it's okay. I think the example you gave of the family, and I mean, you could say the same thing about the universe. You know, there's stars, there's planets, there's the sun. You know, they're individual entities, yet at the same time, it's outer space.
You can take
a lot of things. You could perceive the animal kingdom and then name individuals within the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom, or, you know, so it could, you know.
Exactly correct. And that's why the question that you asked is a good question. And the answer is always yes to both. Because what's your frame of reference? Am I looking at it from the overall, from the universal standpoint? Or am I looking at it from the individual component standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's the beginning of understanding that it's not that each verse in the Torah has a translation. Each verse in the Torah has a translation and another translation, both at the same moment. They're both active at the same moment. But as a human being limited by the body, how do I perceive that? Do I perceive all 70 translations at the same moment? Or do I see them as separated? And we recognize, as the example I gave of the family or the individual, we recognize that is our capability to perceive all the 70 translations at the same moment, all active at the same moment. But we in the Western world and in our society and in most of human society, we look at it as one translation that I read the first time I read it. And that's the way I think of that verse all the time, when there are many different ways to understand the verse simultaneously. And it's important to realize that you need to understand these different perspectives, these different frames of reference, simultaneously. They're not individual. They're not, oh, this is a, it's an individual, and then there's a family. They're both at the same time. And it's not an easy thing to do, is it?
No, because I'm just, you know how you told us we should talk to the Seppi Road, ask questions of the Seppi Road. Well, I just felt the thought, does the spirit speak to the Nefesh? You know, does the Ruach speak to the Nefesh? Does the Nefesh speak to the Ruach? And I think I'm asking that because of the words dominate and then the word govern. You know, they're different, so... govern kind of gives me the impression that the Ruach would speak to the Nefesh, but then at night the Nefesh would take over. It would dominate. And that may not be the correct way to put it or to even think it, but I just wonder if they converse with each other. And you could include the Neshama in too, even though we haven't talked about the Neshama yet.
And we will talk about it, and we will include it, and yes. But is the answer, do they speak together, or do they not? That is that's the essence of the mistake, the world of the breaking of the vessels. They didn't speak together, so they couldn't handle the energy because they weren't communicating about it.
So the higher level
gave more than the lower level could handle, and it broke.
Okay.
Now let's go back to the idea of the domination versus the governance. It's the difference between how males and females perceive the world. We talk about how women congregate. They have a group. They talk to each other. They communicate. It's not that they problem solve by saying this is what you should do. They problem solve because they talk to each other and think of different ways. This is the idea of governing. The male approach is domination. You do this, then you do that, someone else does this, all according to a single director. There's not problem solving. The problem solving is you identify the problem and then you solve it. Whereas the feminine approach is not even to identify the problem, in my perspective, but they solve it through the conversation. The problem becomes identified and the solution becomes clear. That's the difference between domination and governance.
Mm-hmm.
One is male, one is female. One is harsh and one is soft.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because the Nefesh takes over, and that's Malkut, which is female, which governs at night, the negative side. I mean, the way I see it. Not good for women.
It's not necessarily that the negative side is dominating at night. For the most part, it does. But as soon as you reveal light, the negative side runs away.
We reveal light. Is that the wrong?
Say again. You broke up.
We reveal the light. So which part of the soul is that?
Which part of the soul is the revelation of light?
Yeah.
I'm not clear on the question here.
Well, you said at night, the nefesh takes over. So if we bring light in at night through different sources like prayer and meditation, that sort of mechanism. So
yes.
Is that the Ruach? Is that the Ruach we bring it in, or is that the Neshama?
Yes.
Yes,
the answer
to which one?
Is yes.
Both?
It applies to all of them at different times, at different consequences, at different parts of the process.
Well, I thought we were, from the past verses, that when we were talking about the nefesh, and at nighttime it was when we were asleep, and our nefesh was trying to elevate to the upper garden, and depending on our activities of the day, whether we were righteous or not, depends on whether we make it, or we just walk around and the klipot sticks to us, or we stick to the klipot. I shouldn't say we, I should say the nefesh.
Yetana, is there a separation between the actions of the day and what happens to the nefesh at night?
I think so. I'm thinking of a little simple thing. I was busy at the computer, and I had a guest, and I was really having to concentrate because I was trying to, for this person, transliterate a verse. And I don't do well with transliteration, mainly probably because I taught phonics, several different phonics programs, and, you know, there's different ways that you can spell particular sounds, and knowing that people have trouble with ACCH, they're going to think, you know, as in children and not as that guttural sound. And he came to me because he was getting ready to go to the store, and he asked me a question, and I barked at him, you know, don't bother me right now, I'm trying to concentrate, you know. Well, see, that's something I have to really work on. I don't like being interrupted that way, but I'm really trying to concentrate on something like that. And I was in a hurry to do that. And so I knew that night, that was one of the questions I did yesterday about, you know, saying before you say the bedtime Shema, part of the bedtime Shema, the first part, where you're doing, what's it called? I think I called it Tikkun HaNefesh, but it's not Tikkun HaNefesh. It's Hefesh, Heshbon, is it?
It's Heshbon HaNefesh.
So, what I call it, you know. And
right.
I knew that little action, because that's one of the things I have to really work on, is I don't like to be interrupted when I'm working on something. And I knew that would prevent me because of our teachings, you know, during the week. And so anyway, it did help me because I knew what to do, you know.
I understand.
I probably would have stayed awake half the night, but wrestling, not enjoying, because I was up maybe to study or something like that. But so anyway, it was just a little thing, but it was a big eye-opener for me.
which I think will help me the next, even more so the next time that the situation comes around, because it'll come around again.
It will come around again, and it's the first step is to recognize the issue, recognize the problem, or the, if we don't call it a problem, recognize the situation. If you don't recognize it, you've already, you know, as we say, if you don't recognize there is a Satan, if there is a negative system, you've already lost the war.
Well, I recognized it because, this has been something I've had to work on for a long time. But I think knowing what the effect was going to be,
there was a time when you didn't recognize.
Go ahead.
My point is there was a time when you did not recognize it. And the first step is to recognize it. Then things start to come into clarity. Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time I recognized it was the first time I was going to do something for you way back 6 years ago. And I had all, I'm one, I like to keep my word if I say I'm going to do something. And I had all these interruptions. And so I couldn't keep my word with what I had said to you. So, I've been aware of it for a long time. But I think it's at another level when you realize what the effect is going to be that night, if you haven't dealt with it with teshuva, because then your nefesh is going to wrestle and you're not going to elevate that night. It's just not an automatic thing that every night your soul rises to the Garden of Eden, you know. So I think that's going to help a lot when you know what the effect is. Just like our lesson that we had in the event reincarnation of, all the different transgressions and not so blessing, what happens, how you reincarnate to this particular thing. You don't wash your hands before eating bread and on and on you can go. Well, I think when you understand what Kabbalah says about what's the effect of what your transgression is, or your sin, whatever you want to call it, I think you're reaching another level to help you overcome that. And it's like, when you were little, or you tell your grandchildren, don't touch the stove, it's hot, you're going to get burned. And they touch the stove. Well, once they've touched the stove, they may have heard it and heard it. And they burn themselves, they're less likely to do it again. Well, I think that's knowing what the nefesh does at night, and the struggle it's going to have, and that you're not going to be in the upper garden because of that unrighteous act that you did. I think that's... That's a step to help you with the teshuva process.
Absolutely. The important thing to learn is to understand the two frames of reference simultaneously. It's not easy to do, but that is the best part. We're out of time, so
okay.
We'll pick this up tomorrow. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Questions and answers at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom. Bye, y'all.
And also tomorrow will be a Psalms class at 7 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.